Hey guys, we're getting to another episode of When the Scriptures Become Real. It's going to be a podcast where we learn, where we study, where we grow, where we try to become the best versions of ourselves as we can, as we continue to serve our Lord. Again, you guys find the podcast on YouTube or anywhere else you get your podcast. We're just so thankful you guys are here, you found us, and that you guys are with us today. All right, so if you don't know, we are in a series right now, which, by the way, I want to thank you guys so much for your support of it, for sharing it, for being interactive with this, for making this a communal thing, a study where we really are involved together as we're all sitting at the table with him, right? So this has just been amazing, and I'm so appreciative of what you guys are doing. So I love you guys, man. I appreciate you guys for what you're doing for us on the podcast here. But if you don't know, we are in a series that's entitled Single and Searching ? Right? Single and Searching ? Now, again, this is part four today, so please, for the foundation, to understand what we're building with Christ at the table, it would be so great if you would start back at part one to understand where we are up to part four today, right? So, but just a quick recap or Cliff Notes version, just so you could catch up if you want to start with this one. Part one understood the search is already over, right? As we're sitting at the table with Christ, the search is already over. Part two, we looked at, now we're sitting at the table with Christ now. Then part three, we looked at, as we sit at the table with him, now the struggle begins, right? There's going to be great conversation with him. There's going to be sweet conversation of how he loves us, but there's also going to be tough conversation that we're going to have with him at that table. And we can't be afraid of that tough conversation. Then part four is where we're at today. And I cannot wait, because this, the way that this is stacking up and building together, it's incredible. And this has helped me so much, and I hope that it can help you as this encourages you in this state that you may be in. Now, is this interesting that up to this point, now there's concepts that we've taken from part one through three, and we're going to do it again today. There's concepts we've taken that can be applied to other people in the future. There's no doubt about that. And that's the goal of this, is to apply to other people in the future. There's no doubt. But isn't it interesting that where we are right now, isn't it interesting that nobody's been at the table with me here? Isn't it interesting nobody's been at the table with you? You see, this is the beautiful part about doing this work on this side of I Do, right? You're taking the time and you're doing the internal work, and you're taking that. Sometimes it feels like you're taking that dead time to just focus and sit at the table with our Lord. You know, I once heard somebody say, in order to become great at something or a master at something, it's going to take a lot of dead time. Meaning it doesn't feel like you're not doing much. It doesn't feel like you're taking giant leaps, or you're not taking, you know, quantum leaps to different places in life. Sometimes it's those monotonous things you're doing every day at the table, and you're praying and you're working and you're struggling and you're sitting and you're pursuing your Lord. This is the work that sometimes we're afraid to do. And because we're so afraid to be by ourselves, I really don't want to do that work alone. Sometimes, because the work is what it's called, is work. Well, I really don't want to do that. I feel like I can get into relationships without that. Sometimes that's the path that we take. But eventually, you're going to have to sit at this table. And I commend you guys, if you're on the other side of I Do in terms of marriage, I commend you, because this is difficult work. And I understand this is hard work. And I commend you guys for being at the table. And I hope that we can continue to study and do this together. So this is part four. And we'll get into what we're going to call that. But as we get our Bibles ready, as we get ready to kind of start this convo, here's where we want to start to kind of springboard our conversation. So in Matthew chapter 6, right? Matthew 6, verse 26. This is kind of a phrase that it's very easy to gloss over, because maybe you heard it so many times, or you understand what's coming after that in verse 33. But I don't want you to miss a certain spot in verse 26. This is what it says. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? Here's a phrase that I want you to circle or highlight in your Bible as we're studying together. Look at the birds of the air. Now, I know that we've all seen birds, right? They're not like insane creatures, which you haven't seen. I know you've seen birds. I know you've heard them. You've heard their chirping. That's incredible. But have you gone outside with the specific purpose of looking at birds. Jesus knows what he's saying, right? Have you gone outside to specifically for the sole, so for the sole purpose, the reason why I'm walking outside today is to look at the birds. It's different. So the way that our church building is built, we got a big parking lot in the front, and there's trees kind of around the parking lot. So sometimes when I've always needed my time, no matter where I've been, I've always needed my time just to walk, just to pace, shoot basketball. I just needed my time outside. So sometimes I'll go out and I'll just walk and pace and walk. And I actually say, you know what? I'm going to try this. And you go outside and you look at those birds, whether rain or shine. And I just looked. And it's very interesting, the noise that comes out of their mouth. When you're inside and you hear the birds chirping, yes, that sounds beautiful. But when you're right next to the tree, you understand how loud that is and how in unison it is. So what's the concept that Jesus wants us to understand? Is when you sit at the table with me, sing with me. I don't want you to miss that. When you're at the table with me, in this state, this is our context, but this can apply to married, anybody else, but specifically for our context of single and searching. When you're at the table with me, sing with me. Why? Because I sing over you. This is an interesting concept. Sing with me because I sing over you. Now, here's what's interesting about this concept of singing with Jesus at the table. That's our part four, singing with Jesus at the table. Many times we're at the table with him, but we're not singing with him. We're just saying stuff. So now, because of how things have happened in your life, because of what's not working, because what hasn't worked, instead of singing with the Lord, we say a lot of things. We begin to murmur and complain. Lord, there's no good guys out here. There's no good girls out here. There's no good friends out here. There's no good people here. There's nothing here, Lord. So we're at the table, but we're not singing with him. We're just saying things. And sometimes what that can instill within us guys in this state, it can instill a level of kind of almost hatred. And it can instill a level of bitterness within us that Jesus is trying to get us away from at that table. Okay. So what we're going to see is we're going to see singing with Christ at the table, learning to sing with him. Now, there's going to be a very important day before we go into our text here. It's going to be very important that we understand two things moving forward, right? That number one, Jesus rejoices over you. And we're going to see that from the text. This is beautiful from Luke chapter 10, right? Jesus rejoices over you. That's going to be an interesting thing for you to see. But the second thing that's going to be interesting for you to see and for you to know moving forward is you're going to have to know, right? And I'm pointing the finger at myself too. You're going to have to know and recognize in the future, if that's the Lord's will for you, you're going to have to know and recognize when somebody wants to sing with you. All right. You're going to have to recognize when somebody wants to sing with you. It's different. But in order to understand that aspect of it, like we always said, we got to start at the table with Jesus. So that's where we're going to start. All right. So let's go to Luke. Luke 10, right? Luke chapter 10. And let's start like in verse 21. Luke 10, starting in verse 21. I'm so pumped about this one too. This is good. Luke 10, starting in verse number 21. Okay, so quick background. So the 70 that Jesus sends out earlier, they return back now, and they return with joy, right? You can see that in verses 17 and 18, right? They return with joy from the mission that Jesus sent them out on. So now we find ourselves with the 70 and with Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Now, let's start. Verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Here's what's interesting about that phrase if you're taking notes with us. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Obviously, we have parables of Jesus, especially in the next five chapters. So like Luke 15, right? And we even looked at this, the prodigal son, right? The lost sheep, the lost coin. In all those aspects, the father, the shepherd, the woman, they rejoice. And we understand that that is referencing the father. But specifically, and what's very interesting about this text, specifically, this is the only place where we have that it is a explicit saying that Jesus as a man, he rejoiced. It's right here in verse 21. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. It literally means, guys, like the word rejoice there means to be literally thrilled. So I want you to imagine this. Jesus at the table, as he is pursuing us, Jesus at the table, as he wants to sit here and get to know you, Jesus at the table, wanting to know the good parts of you, wanting to know the bad parts of you, Jesus at the table, wanting to sing with you, it rejoices him to be there. Do you understand where we're going with this? Guys, I think a lot of times the thing that we fall into is we try to create this rather than this be organic. Okay, I don't want you to miss that. I think what we try to do with Jesus and with other people, we try to create this rather than letting it be organic. So did we have to force Jesus to want to be here? No. Did we have to force Jesus to pursue us? Nope. Did we have to make him do it? Nope. Did we have to kind of manipulate the situation so that then he could come running back to us? No. But what do we do? All those things. You see, when we're learning to sing with Christ, the thing that we learn about him is he wants to be here. And guys, it's going to be a very important day in your life with anything, but specifically in our context, it's going to be a very important day when you find somebody that wants to be here. And many times in your mind, because we all have that thing within us that we want that, sometimes because you want that so bad, you're almost going to try to control that. I want you to be here so bad that I want to control the situation so you'll stay. Guys, it is a very hard thing because you cannot control that for others. You can only control that for you. And it's a beautiful concept as we're sitting at the table with Jesus to know that in part four, everything that we've gone through up to this point, everything we've talked to Jesus about, everything we've learned about Christ, all these things that we've done, he wants to be here for it all. And I understand more, right? Why the psalmist writer, the Proverbs writer, specifically for a man of God, he says that man is just and that a faithful man who can find. Because it's hard to be a man of God. And it's hard to do that internal work. So I understand that more as I grow. But another concept that I'm trying to understand a little bit more is it makes sense why the Proverbs writer writes that a woman of God is far above rubies. And I don't know when's the last time y'all saw a real ruby. They're not just out here, okay? You can't just go out and find rubies. You don't just find them, right? This is different people we're talking about. And so Jesus rejoices. He wants to be here with you. And when you understand when we're at the table with him, if Jesus wants to be here, moving forward, as I pursue, as you pursue, as we mature, we should want to be at the table with others. We should want to be there. And this is something you shouldn't have to force. Does that make sense? I don't want us to get, because if we're being real, we've all been there. We've all tried to force something and we've wanted to stay so bad that we've done things and we move things. I don't know if I could do this without, because if you leave, then I don't have opportunities. You don't have opportunities. We don't have you see what I mean? So now we begin to stress out. Jesus wants to be here. And that's an important concept. I don't want you to miss that. Now, we understand that he is thrilled with joy, right? And here's another interesting thing too. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, like starting in verse 27, remember when Jesus talks about he's chosen the weak things of this world to confound those which are mighty? He just sent the 70 out to do his work, right? They came back with joy. And Jesus was just so thrilled because they were doing his work. They were singing with him. And he was so thrilled. Somebody, I'm rejoicing over them. They're rejoicing with me. You see how it's reciprocal? I'm rejoicing over them and they're rejoicing over me. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And here's what's cool. So why is he rejoicing? According to that phrase that we just read. This is all just the beginning of verse 21. Why is he rejoicing? Let's keep reading. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Doesn't that sound like 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29? Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Now, when you sing at the table with Jesus, Jesus is so selfless that Jesus is not singing at the table just because he's glad to be there with you. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. Here's why he's singing at the table too, which is, it's beautiful. Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53, he's personified. Not really even personified. I don't want to use that word.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
He's described as being a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. That's a real side of who our Lord was. But I want you to think about this for a moment. The man of sorrows, we only look at him as that. But Jesus also was a man of joy. Now, obviously we can't swing the pendulum one way or the other, that he was all sorrow or he was just all happy-go-lucky. We can't swing the pendulum on either side. We got to understand Jesus being a man was both, okay? He was both. So now, think about this for a moment. The man of sorrows is singing at the table here in Luke 21 or Luke 10 verse 21. Why? It's so beautiful. He's singing at the table because he is thankful for the success of his friends. He just sent them out, didn't he? So now when he sends them out, look at verse 17. Then the 70 returned. How did they return, though? They returned with joy. In that hour, verse 21, then Jesus rejoiced. Now, here's a very important concept of sitting at the table with Jesus. And especially for us in a single state, when you learn to sit at the table and sing with our Lord, his selflessness transfers over to you. Now, no matter what state you're in, when you're at the table singing with our Lord, he teaches you to sing for other people around you. And I think specifically in a single state, I don't think we know how to do that as often as we should. Because I think when you're in this state, you can internalize so many things, and that inner wrath and that inner bitterness and that inner anger that's within you of things that haven't worked in your past and your present and things you don't even see working in your future, you become so isolated and you become a different person based on your experiences that are around you. We forget that Jesus, the reason why he was thrilled was not for himself. He was thrilled for them. So the people that are around us, no matter what state we're in, yes, all of us, I think it's a natural thing for you to want others to celebrate with you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a sin. That's not wrong. That's a human emotion. You want someone to celebrate with you. But it's a beautiful concept to really, really sing and really, really rejoice with the people that you know. When you see your friends engaged, when you see your friends married, when you see your friends having children, when you see them excelling at their jobs, when you see them growing as a family, when you see them expanding and doing the work of the Lord, when you see them growing, when you see them having opportunity to do things, when you see them in that state, just like those birds, when you walk outside and you really get a close look at those birds and you hear how loud they are as they sing, Jesus in his selflessness sings over you. So if we're truly sitting at the table in a single state, sing at the table over those people that you know and love. Sing with them. Sing at the table with those people that you know. Sing at the table with those people that you've dated in the past and now they're married. Sing with them. Sing with them. Sing with those people that it didn't work out with. Sing with them. Sing with your enemies, those that don't love you. Sing with them. It's a different level of rejoicing. And Jesus is rejoicing at the table. He's singing over you. And it's so easy to get in this state where you're looking at yourself, oh, I got nothing to sing about. Nothing's really happening. I don't see nothing lining up. Nothing's going to work. It's not working out. I don't see there's nothing. I'm not like that. You see what I'm saying? You can have those conversations and you can be at the table and you can stay at the table and you can murmur and complain. And here's what's crazy. As a Christian, if you're in this state, you can stay at the table and murmur and complain and Jesus won't stop you. He's going to let you just sit there and do that. Because here's the thing. As Jesus rejoices over you, Jesus is not going to force you to rejoice over him. It's got to be mutual. It's got to be mutual. So we're going to have to get to a point in our maturity as we grow with him and sit at the table with him and really do this internal work. We're going to have to really check to see how your attitude's been over the past couple of years. You're really going to have to see some things. And the more you sit and sing with your Lord alone, again, there's that dead time. The more you sit and sing with the Lord alone will make you sing louder for your friends. The reason why Jesus was rejoicing and was thrilled, he was thrilled for them. And then we're going to see why he was even thrilled about other things in the next couple of verses. But do you see the beauty that comes from just sitting with him and singing with him? The Lord is good. And here's another thing, just a quick side mission here. Here's another thing for you to try, which this is very tough to do, but this is a part of the process of sitting at the table with him. Remember with Job, right? How simultaneously things were just gone. Job, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, right? You can think about David, how he lost his firstborn. You think about Elijah, right? Of how he felt, I just can't do this, Lord. I'm done. I can't. You think about Jeremiah, right? I just don't even want to do this anymore. Lord, you tricked me. All these men and women felt like this. Think about Naomi. We looked at it in a Ruth and Boaz series. Just call me bitter. I'm just done. You women just need to leave me. I want you to try this. Now, singing at the table, when you're rejoicing, it's a beautiful song. But have you tried truly singing at the table with Jesus when you're hurting? I preached on this yesterday, and this has changed one of my favorite songs that I love to sing at camp for years. It's changed it for me. One of my favorite songs to sing of all time, just because of how we sing it too, Glorify Thy Name. Love that song. Love that song. And here's why. When Jesus said, Glorify Thy Name in John chapter 12, Jesus wasn't rejoicing in spirit when he said, Glorify Thy Name. Jesus was rejoicing because he said earlier in John 12, verse 27, he said, my soul hurts. My soul's in trouble. It's hurting. Then he says, Father, what am I supposed to say? But then verse 28, he says, glorify thy name. What Jesus teaches us as we sing with him at the table, it's a beautiful thing when things are working for you. And when things are working for your friends, it's a beautiful thing to sing praises to God. God is so good. All these songs that we can sing. The Greatest Commands, which is another one on my list. But it's a different song when you're hurting. And in the midst of that hurt, you're still singing. It's a different thing because sometimes it's a temptation not to. And Jesus teaches us how. Right? He teaches us how to sing at the table. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Again, that's just another thing you could try. But again, that's more as we grow in the maturity and sitting to sing with him. So that's verse 21. 22, He says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turns to his disciples and said to them privately, now this is another reason why he rejoices, verse 23, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. A lot of times when we're at the table with Jesus in a single state, sometimes I don't think we know what we see. Jesus is at the table with us, and there is a God, and there is a person that I'm in a relationship with that pursued me, that doesn't think I'm invisible, that handpicked me, that wants to know me, and that wants to stay here. This is something everybody's searching for. And again, is it wrong? Is it sinful to search for that? Absolutely not. It's a beautiful thing to want and to pray for, but we have it here with him. Now, quick side mission for that, for this point. Many times what we can do is when we see our single friends and when we see people that are hurting, sometimes we take this concept that we'll get back to. We take this concept and it's almost like we present it to the single people in the congregation. And when we teach singles, we teach it as almost like a concession prize, meaning like you haven't found a person like we have, but you have God. Or then we'll say, well, you have it. You might even have it better because you have God. Are those people saying that with bad intent? Absolutely not. I don't think so. Are those people saying it with malicious? No, they're not. They're not. And we have to understand that from the single side. They're not. But Jesus is not a concession to be like, to compare. Saying like, well, you have Christ, so you're good. It comes off wrong. And I think there's a better way. I think there's a better way to talk to our singles about that. I think there's a better way. And I think the way is to understand Jesus is not a concession because you're not married. And I think that's how it's, well, you're not married, but you got God. You know what I mean? I understand it. I get it. But there's a way to say this. So yes, you have your Lord. But that also doesn't take away from the fact that the Lord being here at the table with him and preparing with him may be preparing you for someone else. So instead of just saying, well, you have the Lord, instead of just kind of trying to compare to try to comfort them because they don't have somebody yet, maybe just comfort them by saying, just keep sitting at the table with God. Don't try to say, well, this is, don't try to guarantee something's coming. Don't try to fix it. Just try to comfort them and say, just sit at the table with him. It's a beautiful thing. As a married person, if I was, I'm trying to sit at the table with him too. I'm trying to do that too. Let's stop trying to make Jesus this concession prize. Okay. That's just another side note, but let's go back to the table. So we're with him and we're all searching for this person, but we also have this person who wants you, who pursues you, who wants to be here and who wants to stay. Okay. We have a person that's there. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. I think there are only, if we do this internal work now, there are some things that we can see that's incredible. I mean, you think about the Old Testament. Think about David probably wanted to see these things. Think about Jeremiah. Think about the major and the minor prophets. Think about Gideon. Think about Samson. Think about all these people. Abram, they wanted to see these things, and blessed are your eyes because the Messiah is right here in front of you and you're serving him and I'm singing over you. You don't know how blessed you are to see what you're seeing. You don't know how blessed you are to see what you're seeing. And sometimes singles, I don't think we know how blessed we are to see who's in front of us. I don't think we know how blessed it is to see him. And then as we love him, God in his might and his power, if that is his will, if we want him to pick the person for us, don't you think it would be great to know his heart who does the picking? That's a whole nother podcast for another day. But sitting at the table with him and rejoicing. Man, blessed are your eyes. You just don't know what you're seeing. This is incredible. And I think sometimes we have to sit and understand that. But I think many times we sit at the table and instead of singing, we sit at the table in solitude. And that's not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. Because then, you know, wrath, envy, jealousy, all these things will be instilled within you. And you don't want that. That's not a good place to be. Okay? Not a good place to be. So in verse 24, for I tell you, which again, this pumps our point even more. Verse 24, I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see. Okay, just quick note. Working in ministry, I have the privilege and honor to work with all types of people, to work with married, to work with divorced, to work with single, to work with, you can go down the list. I have the honor and privilege to work with all of them. I'm thankful for that. And it's an interesting thing sometimes when you see people who have gone down a path of where they've married the wrong person. And you see the pain that it brings the home. You see the pain that it brings the children. You see the pain it brings the husband or the wife in that situation. And one of the things that they say in their maturity now in Christ is sometimes those women, sometimes those guys will kind of pull you to the side who you're helping. And they'll say, man, I really wish that I would have done things the way you're doing them. I really wish I could see these things now. I wish I was more mature then as I am now, because I would have avoided this. I would have avoided being in this union. I would have avoided these problems with my kids. I would have avoided that. Yes, God in his grace, love, mercy, kindness, forgiveness. Yes, he accepts me and wants me here at the table and loves me, but these things can't just go away and disappear. I wish I would have seen it. I wish I would have seen it earlier. And when somebody like that tells me that, and I look at them in the eye, you can see the pain in their eyes. Because if they would have only made one small pivot, they would have only not gone on that date, they would have only chosen that different person, if they would have only chosen that good guy or girl rather than leave them and go to somebody else, if they just would have made one decision, it could have totally changed the course of their life. And for them to say almost in tears, I wish I could see what I'm seeing now. I just wish I could see it. Singles, there's a blessing on the other side of I do. There's a blessing. And we have to be thankful for the man, the God, the Savior that sits in front of us. But we also have to understand and be thankful for the things that he lets us see now. Does it take away from sometimes those days, those years, those sometimes there's a lot of solitude? No, it doesn't take away from that. Does it take away from those moments where you're like, man, I wonder if things would be different if I, it doesn't take away from that. But it's a blessing, and we should count those blessings to see these things now. Blessed are your eyes who see. The prophets wanted to see me. The prophets wanted to see the things that I'm doing with you right now, Jesus said. But you have the privilege and the honor to see it right now. And Jesus was always so conscious of the moment he was in, and he was always so conscious of the state that he was in. And I think that's a skill that I'm trying to let him develop within me, and hopefully he can develop within you. He was so conscious of those things. And many times we're not conscious of those things that are around us, and we're not conscious of the people sitting in front of us in terms of Christ, because we're so worried about the next stage. Oh, I'm in my late 30s. I'm in my early 40s. I haven't been married yet. I'm still worried about the next stage. I'm in my early 20s, and everybody that I've known and went to school with, they're all married. I'm waiting for the next stage. I got to get to that stage. I'm in my 30s and I just need the next stage. we're so conscious and we're so focused on the next stage that we're not conscious in the state and stage we're in now. And Jesus just paused everything in this text in Luke 10. I'm so happy you're rejoicing. Verse 17, I'm rejoicing over you and with you. We also just take a second and we also just take a moment in this time. And number one, thank the Father. Verse 21, because without the Father, none of this would happen. I thank the Father that this was his idea. I'm just, as a son, I'm just executing his plan. This was his idea. So we should all thank the Father in this moment. But then number two, he says, you should be so thankful that you as the disciples, so many people work towards the promise. The Hebrews writer talks about this in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12. So many people work towards this and you're in it. Singles, if we're at the table with him, we're in the moment. Let's stop worrying about the next stage. Is it wrong to prep for that? Absolutely not. I'm prepping for it. But it's a difference between prepping for it and constantly worrying over it. Just be in this state. Just be in this state. Then he says this, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and they have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Jesus in Matthew 5 and 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, he always says this phrase, he that hath an ear, let him hear. When we sit at the table with Jesus and he has pursued us, he wants to sit with us, he wants to know us intimately, he wants to struggle with us through all good and bad times, and he wants to sing with us. Sometimes in our singleness, and no matter what state we're in, but specifically in our context, because of we're in our singleness, what we'll do is there's a person that does all that, and we're on the other side of the table, and we don't see that person's effort. Guys, in your maturity, we got to get better at this. And I'm putting me in there. We got to get better at this, because when Jesus gives effort, and it has he not? Has he not? He has. When Jesus gives effort, we need to see the effort that he's given. We need to see that and recognize that. And down the line, when a good man of God, when a good woman of God, when they pursue God, when they pursue you, when they want to sit with you, when they want to struggle with you, and when they want to sing with you, we have to be smart enough and aware enough and conscious enough and selfless enough to see somebody else's effort. Because in our society, we're so self-exalted people that we're only looking at ourselves. And when someone gives effort now these days, that seemed as they're doing too much. I want too much. If that seems like too much, I want too much then. Jesus does so much for you. And within doing all that, he sings over you. Don't miss his effort. A lot of us are missing his effort because maybe he specifically hasn't done something for you or taken you to certain places in your life or changed things, whatever the case might be. But don't dismiss our Lord's effort. Don't do that. I've done that. I don't want to do that. And I hope you don't want to. Don't dismiss his effort. And when people of God do great things for you, things that they don't have to do, are guys perfect? No. Are ladies out here perfect? No. Are Christians who are trying to help you perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. So let's stop this perfection train. And there's a beautiful thing. The older you get, the more effort in other people is priceless. because you start to realize as you get older, they got their own lives. They're doing their own things. They're busy with their own stuff. They've got their own problems. They got their own issues, and they still took time out of their insane day to do something for me. They didn't have to do that. Effort becomes priceless, and effort becomes more attractive because you begin to understand things differently. So the more that we begin to understand our Lord more, and he sings over us, and he rejoices with us, and he wants to be at the table, then on our end, now it's starting to switch over to us a little bit at this table. Now it's on us at this point to begin to see the effort that he's been doing these past times at the table with us. Man, the Lord has been doing so much for me. And throughout the last couple of years, maybe I just haven't seen it. Maybe because I just didn't want to see it. This is different stuff. You see why this is important internal work? Singing at the table with Jesus. It's a beautiful concept, man. You see why I wanted to do this? This is a beautiful concept. Man, like I always say, like there's so much work to do, but it is a wonderful thing as you get older that you are blessed to see the things that he's allowing you to see. It's different. I know I say that a lot, but it is different. The older you get and how he matures you through this stuff, through this kind of dead time as you're learning to sit at the table with him, it's amazing. So love you guys, man. Appreciate you guys. This is such an awesome series. So next week I'll be out of town, so there'll be no podcast next Monday, but then the next Monday, so 2 weeks, I'll be back and we'll finish the finale of this one. So in 2 weeks we'll have the finale of the Single and Searching series, and then we've got some more stuff down the line of what we want to do in other topics, but we've got one more part of the finale in 2 weeks, and then we'll move forward with the podcast. But again, just thank you guys. Reach out to us. We want to hear from you. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. And Lord willing, we will see you guys in 2 weeks. All right. Thanks, guys.